City Church is in the Four Square denomination, and it's been wrapped around the full-orbed ministry of Jesus. Jesus is the Savior, He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, He's the healer, and He's the soon-coming King. Everything that we do exalts Jesus, submits to His will, does those things that promote wholeness and help in people's hearts. And I'm under a tremendous leader. And this is Pastor Peter and, so go ahead and both stand right quick. Peter and Lisa Bonanno. Just go ahead and say, yay. They're actually, he's like a shepherd of shepherds. He's over 10 states. I mean, this is like, so he's going to be speaking with us. Come on up here. And so this is, would you welcome with me Pastor Peter Bonanno? Thank you, buddy. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor. Wow, what an honor it is to be with you. I don't know where to start because yesterday we came out and we just had a great time with your pastors for dinner. We saw this beautiful, incredible facility which God has truly blessed you with. So the beauty of this place and the beauty in your pastors' hearts, and then when we came in being greeted by so many of you and your smiling faces and your hugs and the beauty that's in you, and then the beauty of His presence this morning, and then to get the added bonus of having the Lord sing over us, overwhelming, really. It's just been a blessing. And so today, I come to you hoping to be able to give you a little bit of the blessing that we have already received. You know, Scripture says that we are blessed to be a blessing, right? And so I really pray that you are blessed today, and that individually in your life, but also as a congregation. Pastor, I got to correct you on one thing. It's actually 15 states that our district is. So, and he forgot about New England. You know, a lot of people forget about New England, which is where we're from. We pastored in New Hampshire. We planted a church there and pastored there for almost 20 years. God's hand was on that church, and God did some great things. And then the Lord called us to have our season come to a close. And it was in that place that we trusted the Lord for the next steps, and we became asked to be a part of the process to become the next district supervisor of this. We call it the supersized district because it has so many states, and it's a combined district, combined two different districts in one. And so we've been doing that now for 5 years. Actually, this will be our fifth year, and it has been a blessing. It has been a privilege to be just see what God is doing around our district. You know, and we have a very diverse district. I'll just tell you that on the front end, because it just covers all kinds of cultures and regions and ethnicities. And I mean, one Sunday we can be in one of our new church plants in New York City, and the next Sunday we can be in Berea, Kentucky, and it's like night and day. You know, you can imagine how different it is, and yet the Lord has graced us to be able to see and to experience, and just the beauty of what God is doing in every region of our district. So we're privileged to be with you because we see what God is doing here, and it is no accident that He has set up this season and this time. And God is doing a good thing through City Church right here in Fairmont. Aren't you glad to be a part of this church? God has some good things in store for you. Well, thank you so much for having us. I want to talk to you today about your calling. Your calling. And you know, there's a lot of people that talk about calling. A friend of mine, actually one of our Four Square pastors, said recently that there are two vital times in your life. The first time is the day that you are born, and the second time is the day you figure out why you were born, right? And that's what calling is. Why, Lord, did you bring me into this world? And each one of us have a very specific calling, or what I like to say, a real unique kingdom contribution. Did you know that? You have a unique kingdom contribution. No accident that you're here, that I'm here at this time in this day. Even though sometimes it's easy for us to discount the calling that's on our life, sometimes because of our past, sometimes because of our mess up sometimes because somebody hasn't said that to us, and it's hard for us to really believe that there is a unique kingdom contribution that I have, that you have. I was 10 years old, and I came home from school. I was living at that time in Miami, Florida. My parents were divorced now for a few years. I was 7 when they were divorced, and all through my growing up, my parents struggled with addictions. 10 years old, coming home from school to this apartment complex that we lived in, that was several buildings, and in the center of the apartment complex was a small pond. And I remember coming home from school that day. It's vivid in my mind even now as I speak it. And I saw that there were police cars and an ambulance, and there was a huge crowd of people that were gathered along the pond. And I remember weaving my way through and getting through and seeing, and everyone, while I was walking, they all turned toward me and were looking at me, just this 10-year-old boy with my bag of books. And I remember walking through, and what I saw just caused my heart to sink. My mom was in the water attempting to drown herself. And the police were there, and they were pulling her out, and this was just another of probably one of the more traumatic experiences that I saw my mom going through as she was, again, addicted to heroin, to pills, to all kinds of stuff, and she was trying to end her life. And I remember as a 10-year-old thinking, the feelings, the emotions I had, the sadness, the embarrassment, you know, at 10 years old, and just this sense of hopelessness that I really had. And thinking that through, it caused me to believe that I was never going to get out of a lifestyle like that. How could I? I didn't have people encouraging me and speaking life over me like we know we should. And so I grew up over the next few years going in the wrong direction. Just even as a young teen, without much hope, without much to look forward to, feeling deep inside like a nobody, but on the outside trying to present myself as if I was more than I was. Tough, a punk, kind of to get attention, all of that. And so as I grew up before I came to Christ, and even after I came to Christ, those were things that I had to let the Lord deal with in my life. Because how could somebody that came out of a background like I did, or maybe a background like you did, feel like God could use them for anything significant? How could I have a unique kingdom contribution? Maybe when you meet people like I do, it's easy for us to kind of size them up. Have you ever done that? You see someone, hey man, they look sharp, so yeah, they got this, they grew up like this, or maybe they don't look like that, and you kind of say, you know, you kind of make judgments upon them. I'm sure I'm not the only one, right? Because we don't know where somebody has come from, what they have walked through. And it's so easy for us to make assumptions, just like they do about us, right? And so as I stand here, you know, you hear district supervisor, pastor, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, this guy was probably raised in the church. He had, you know, a great family heritage. No, not so much. Not so much. In fact, you're looking at somebody who probably has a lot of what you have felt, depending on where you've come from, that you kind of rate yourself as pretty insignificant or kind of one of the least likely ones. The least likely that God would use. Before I was a supervisor, as I said, Lisa and I pastored a church in New Hampshire. And God's grace was on us for those 18 years. It was an amazing experience. But before ministry, very few people would ever predict, including myself, that I would be in ministry. I'd be considered one of the least likely to become a pastor or a supervisor or a parent or a husband. Lisa and I just celebrated 31 years of marriage. Or we're celebrating 31. We're almost at 31. We celebrated 30 in last November, so we're coming up. Yeah, and I mean, you wouldn't think, I mean, my parents were divorced. They were drug addicts. You know, it was not something that people would predict. So, you know, there was a pastor, though, that spoke into my life. I became a Christian at the age of 13, and that's a whole nother story, how that happened, but that was definitely God's grace, power of the Spirit, what God did during that time. But when I was involved in this church, and I had a pastor, he spoke over my life calling. He spoke purpose and destiny over my life. Now, he knew what I had walked through. He kind of knew about my background, but he saw something, not just on the outside, but he saw something deep, and he was able to speak into my life ministry and calling. And I remember when he first said it, it's like, no way, that's not in me. There's no way I could be that. So I want to today speak to you about your unique kingdom contribution. That when we come to a place in our walk, when we think about or consider our calling, we need to consider your calling and live out your unique kingdom contribution. Let's look at scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, by the way, a group of people who had all kinds of stuff going on in the culture. I mean, Corinth was, I mean, you could probably lay it side by side next to 21st century American culture in so many ways. And yet, in the midst of that, he says this, "For consider your calling, brothers," and we can add brothers and sisters. "Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. For God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Consider your calling. When Paul wrote these words, he was addressing ordinary people living in a pretty difficult cultural situation. People that were around them were engaged in idolatry and self-effort and the wisdom that they thought would get them further but was only man's wisdom. Things that were associated with power and might and wealth and influence. And he starts this letter, the first of two, by bringing them into a reality check that says, even though you're in a world such as this, and even though your background is such as this, let me speak to you a word of hope as you consider your calling. Consider your calling. If someone were to truly know you, let me ask you this. If they were to truly know you, or maybe if they went a little deeper and knew a little bit about your family background and your heritage. Now, I don't know how it is here in West Virginia, but in New Hampshire, there's a lot of dysfunction in family backgrounds. Now, maybe not here, but where I was in New Hampshire, and listen, as a pastor, you get into people's lives and you hear about stuff, and it's like, wow. And, you know, I mean, sometimes then I look at my own family background and say, all right, Lord, if you did this in my life, surely you can do it in someone else's. Surely do it in someone else's. And that's really all of our stories, right? He transforms us. He restores us. He takes us from darkness into light, it says. He makes us new creations. So when you think about your background, your life, where you came from, what you walked out of, if we remove Jesus from the equation, where would you be? Where would I be? Where would you be had Jesus not intervened in your life? Because Paul is kind of giving them a picture here and giving us a picture here that, you know, he's saying that there's this almost like this chart. And he's saying, which side of this chart do you really fit on? You got those who are wise and powerful and noble, and those who are foolish, weak, and lowly. He's saying, not many of you fit into the column that has the wise on it. Being wise according to human standards, forming the best plans, knowing how to execute those plans, kind of having it all together wisdom-wise. And then he says, not many of you are powerful. That word there means having this mighty influence, whether it's through wealth or through success or through position. And then he says, and not many of you are of noble birth. You know, there's perhaps in this room, maybe some of you come from some royal lineage. Maybe you somehow have, you're related to the Rockefellers or the Kennedys. Maybe not, though. Not many, but there could be some. But instead, he says, no, we probably fit more in the column that says, you know, if you look at our background and our life, yeah, there's the foolishness, there's the weakness, there's the lowliness. And then he's saying, in spite of that, consider your calling. Consider your calling, because your calling rises you up above what it is that could keep you locked in to your past. That there is something he's calling us to set our sights on. I tell you, my pastor encouraged me that I was called into ministry. And initially, that was difficult for me to consider because I didn't even think about that. Now, it's funny because in my heart, there was this desire to serve in the church because the church and Jesus had changed my life. I thought, well, but I couldn't get myself to think about that because I knew my background. I had some friends in youth group that were still close friends. This is from years ago. And I thought I would compare myself to them. Well, you know, their parents came to church with them. They brought them. They raised them. I didn't have that. So God wouldn't call me to ministry, maybe one of them. So I couldn't consider those things because I felt unqualified, because I started to create other plans in my mind, probably plans that would help me fulfill the left side of the column, right? Because that's what we all want. And yet, this whole thing about considering our calling, the word consider is more than just, you know, make it a consideration. It means to think on it. It means to really be thoughtful about it. The word means that you actually meditate on it. In fact, there's some other scriptures. The prophet actually says one time, consider your ways. It's not just a passing thought. Another times, the gospel writer says, consider the lilies of the field, the ravens that neither sow nor reap. And then in the book of Hebrews, we as a church, it says, consider ways to encourage one another toward love and good works. And here he's saying, consider your calling. And he's speaking to people individually, but he's also speaking to a church. And that's what I'd like to do, to have you consider your calling. Because this is not just a word for someone like myself that was called into what we say is vocational ministry or full-time pastoral ministry. But this is a word for every single person. Consider your calling. First, I think the thing we need to do is consider what we were called from. What were we called from? Now, I know that a lot of times we don't like to think about that. We've moved on from that, right? You know, I don't want to think about where I came, what I came out of. But isn't it interesting that the same one who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, this that the Holy Spirit not only used him to encourage them to consider their calling, but often through his writing, he reflected on what he walked out of. Often he talked about his testimony. He said, I was like the worst of the worst. I'm not even worthy to be considered an apostle. I persecuted the church. You don't want to know what kind of person I... He shared that again and again. You know why? Because Scripture says later in Revelation that one of the ways that we overcome the enemy is by the word of our testimony. See, he has nothing on us when we're open about, yeah, that's what I was like. But look what God has brought me into. So consider what you were called from. We are new creations. The old has passed. We get that. But becoming a new creation, being born again, does not erase what we walked out of. I know we like to just kind of, you know, we just want to airbrush all that past. You know, we don't want anyone to know about that stuff. But you are who you have become, but you did walk out of something by God's grace. That's it. That's continues to tell people, this is God's grace. Look what he brought me out of. This is who I was. See, my cultural heritage and your cultural heritage, you can't erase that either. Your family heritage, you can't erase that. You know, Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but you still have the same DNA in you that you always did. He doesn't erase your DNA. So, for instance, for me, I'm half Jewish and half Italian, and I'm from New York. Now, it doesn't sound, I'll tell you that story in a moment, how I got rid of my New York Long Island accent, because I could put it on pretty good, too. But I'm always going to be half Jewish, half Italian. My kids will always have my DNA and my wife's DNA. You're going to always carry some of that kind of heritage with you as well. When I went to college, I went to school in Oklahoma. I went to Oral Roberts University. And, you know, I went to high school in Long Island, and I developed this really heavy New York accent. Everywhere I went, I talked like a New Yorker, including in Oklahoma, as they say. That was Lisa. And I'm Peter. But when I went to school out there, everyone did just what you did, laughed at me. Oh, not in a, like a, you know, they didn't make fun. It was just like humorous to them. You're, boy, where are you from? I'm from Long Island. What's wrong with that? From Long Island, New York. So I made a decision that I was going to do everything I can to mellow out that New York accent. I did a pretty good job, right? Didn't I? But the truth is that that's who I am. That's part of who I am. And when I show up in one of our churches in New York, guess what? I'll talk like this to them the whole time. And then they get me, and it's like, yeah, he's one of us. That's my peoples, you know. Some of you need to, you know, it's just that's how you become all things to all men. So that stuff that's in our past, our life, our heritage, it will always be part of who we are. By God's grace, he even the memories he brings us back to. You see, we have a tendency only to remember the painful things. You notice that? Those are the things that they end up being like scars in our life. But I've found something beautiful over the last, especially the last year, but the last couple of years. Is that the Lord's not only brought me back and I remember the things that were painful, but he is shedding light and shining light on things that were beautiful as well. The things that we can easily forget. Like, you know, I told you I became a Christian when I was 13 years old. So at 13 years old, my mom, as I told you, had always struggled with drugs. Well, she gave her life to the Lord. And it turned out that the people that led her to the Lord were part of a church, and their whole ministry was to women who had addictions. It just was a God thing. And then through that, they were able to put her in a rehab program that the church ran. And during that time, my brother and I, we stayed with some families in the church. And I remember staying with the Alvarez family. And, you know, that's kind of stuff that I kind of have passed on. It was only a short time, but during that time was the first time in my life that I saw what family looked like, that I experienced the love of Christ. And so he will shine light, not just on the things that were painful, we'll begin to open up things that were beautiful. So we have to, first of all, remember what we were called from. Maybe in your life, you were the first one in your family to go to college. You came out of a background of poverty, or your parents and their parents and their parents were divorced, and now you are in a different situation. All of that is incredible, and those are the things that none of us get to boast about. But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. As painful as it may be to consider what he called you from, it points to hope, it points to grace, it points to the gospel that was for sinners like us that Christ died while we were yet sinners. He's called us from that, while we were yet sinners. So consider your calling and live out your unique kingdom contribution by, first of all, remembering what he's called you from. Listen to what Paul said later on when he was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. This is found in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 through 16. It's not on the screen, so listen. It says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. So he's called me. And then he goes on to say, although formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, insolent opponent, I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly and in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. In order to truly consider your calling, you must consider what he has called you from. Could we take 1 minute right now, and I just want you to think about, maybe even write down, three things that God has called you from, what he has called you out of. Three things. Let's just take a minute and pause. Secondly, you need to remember, most of all, who he has called you to. Now, anyone who's been walking with Jesus for any length of time knows that Jesus is more concerned about who you are, how he feels about you, than what you do, right? We are human beings, not human doings. You've heard that. And so in order to truly consider our calling and live out our unique kingdom contribution, not only are we remembering and thinking about what he's called us from, but who has he called us to? He's called us to himself. He's mostly interested in loving us and knowing us, making us his sons and daughters. Before you're called to any great task, before you embrace some sort of vision or project, first and foremost, remember that we are called to him. When we were pastoring the church we pastored, I can tell you that each week there was a challenge. There was a struggle about doing more for God, because there was always stuff to do. There's always stuff to do when you're pastoring a church, when you believe God's called you to be there to reach a community. There's always things to prepare, sermons or people to minister to, needs to be met, work to be done. And then, so you become conditioned sometimes when you're in ministry or in life itself to get everything else done first, and then, Lord, I will just be with you. But it's so opposite. Because all those things that he calls us to do must flow out of who we are in him. Now, as a district supervisor, there is always the potential to respond to the tyranny of the urgent. There are urgent things. Pastors that have needs, churches that there's an issue with either a facility or there's a transition that's going on in a church, or there's a new church planter that has some needs, and there's always the potential to respond to that first and foremost. Yet, my first calling, your first calling, is to him. It's to Jesus. It's really the calling of all, to know him, to be with him, to love him, to receive him, being with you and loving you. No matter how old we get, by the way, doesn't matter. No matter how long we've been in this, no matter how many years you serve Jesus, you're still called to be with him. You are called to him. Why is this so important? Well, again, in my past, at least, I told you a little bit about my upbringing, and so therefore the thing that came out of me is, nobody's going to do this for you, Peter, so you have to do it yourself. Nobody is going to provide for you, so you've got to make it happen so you can provide for yourself. And I did that from a young child. One of my favorite stories is when I was in elementary school, and I was down in Miami. And again, in my family, I mean, my parents were divorced at that time. My mom was very irresponsible. I have a brother who's 4 years younger than me. And so I kind of took on the responsibility. Some of you are like that too. A lot of times older siblings, if there's been some sort of challenge, you kind of take it on. And that's what I did. I took it on. And one day I remember they made this announcement in my school that they were having this contest to go to Disney World. Now, just to show you how old I am, Disney World in Florida had just kind of opened right around that time. So it's like every kid in the world wanted to go to Disney World. But I mean, me, how could I do it? But a contest? And it was whoever could sell the most chocolate bars to raise money for the school would win this trip to Disney World. I worked my tail off selling those chocolate bars. I went from business, to house, and you know what? I won the trip. And that conditions something in you. Okay, I work hard. I do a lot. I'm going to get some rewards. You know, that I'm going to pull myself up. I'm going to do it myself. So I conditioned, if you're not careful, and I did, this false self birthed out of, oh, the way to feel better about yourself is to do a lot and to, you know, do all those things on the outside instead of the calling of just understanding who you are in him. We're not called because of what we are, but because of whose we are. We're not called because of what we do, but because of whose we are. He's not saying, oh, you know, let me see. You're performing pretty good. You know, John, you're just, you've got it pretty together, so I'm going to call you. No, actually, he says, John, you don't have it together too well. I'm going to call you. You know why? Because you get to boast in him. I get to boast in him. We get to boast in the Lord. To know that we're his sons, his daughters, his loved ones, not because we're powerful or noble or wise. We're not called because we work or serve or accomplish great things for him. Consider your calling and live out your unique kingdom contribution. Let's take a minute and think about or write down, what does it mean to you today that he calls you to himself? He calls you to himself. Take a moment and ponder that. Write that down. So, we are called from, we're called to him. But it doesn't end there. It's from here that anything we do is put in its right place. I think about Abraham. He was Abram. God called him. Not because he had like all this great stuff going for him. Not because he was from this, you know, excellent heritage. No, he called him, and then he blessed him, and then he assigned him, appointed him to be a blessing. A couple of weeks ago, Lisa and I had the opportunity to be at one of the churches in our district in Kentucky, Line Fork, Kentucky. Has anyone ever been to Line Fork, Kentucky? Line Fork, Kentucky, you can't even find that city on the map. because it really doesn't exist as a city. It's called Line Fork because there's a little river there called Line Fork. It's a place where a woman over 30 years ago by the name of Mary Bennett, where she was raised, and she went out back to California, where she went out to Life Pacific College, and then the Lord called her back to her hometown. It's in the Appalachians. It's a little, small, nothing community. Poverty, brokenness. Called her there 30 years ago to start the Sunshine's Children's Home. People would come from that community, and they would bring their children, and because they couldn't raise them, or they were abandoned, and they would leave them there. And Mary Bennett would love those children, ended up adopting a lot of them and raising them. And so we were just there celebrating their 30-year anniversary, and we heard the stories of some of her kids and how God has just incredibly healed their lives, used them. And I think about how this woman was called to do something that the fruit of her life was found in obedience to his calling. And she told us many times, I didn't want to go back there. I mean, it's not a place that she wanted to even go, but she obeyed the Lord. She trusted him. And through that, the purpose of her life and the legacy of her life was realized. Now, I know your pastors come from California, too. At least I know you do. Where are you from? North Carolina. And God called them here to Fairmont, West Virginia. I know each of you are part of this church and part of this community that God has called you here. That even in this facility that you have now, and God has blessed you with it. And I know it's been a lot of work to get to this point. But there's a purpose in all of it. That it's not just a renovated building. It's God using you to renovate the hearts and lives of people in this community. Consider what you are called for. This is what it means to have a unique kingdom contribution. And we're not all called to the same thing. That's the wonderful thing about God. He doesn't call everyone to be a pastor, everyone to start an orphanage in Kentucky. He doesn't call everyone to plant the church in New York City or everyone to be on the worship ministry. Everyone has a different, unique kingdom contribution. But when we do what God has called us to do, it begins to fit together. Doesn't it say something like that in Scripture? How the body works together? We're not all an ear or an arm. But we all have this unique calling. That's the beauty of his personal call. We all have certain bents, certain gifts as a part of this diverse body, different desires, joys, plans, goals, priorities, and dreams. Think about all of those that you have right now. All of your desires, your joys, your plans, your goals, your dreams, your giftings. What do we do with all that? Lord, what do I do with all of that? I think that in order for us to give in to this unique kingdom contribution, we take all of those things and then we submit them to God. And then God takes those things and, well, he makes this kind of like, he makes like a smoothie out of those things in our life. He combines those things together and then presents and says, this is what you were born to do. This is what I've called you to. As we lay it down, as we lay ourselves down, then we can truly consider our calling. Called from, called to, called for this, Lord. About 7 years ago, when we knew and we felt a stirring in our life that our time was coming to a close as lead pastors, the Lord brought me to a passage of Scripture in Philippians 2, which has become kind of my life verse over the last several years. It's in Philippians 2 where it talks about for us to have the same mind that Jesus has, the same attitude that Jesus had. And it says this about him, that he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. But instead, he emptied himself and he gave himself for us and took on the form of a servant, human being, and became obedient even to the cross, even to death. And the Lord showed me in that it's so easy for us, for me, to grasp, to hold on to think this is it. This is all there is. Some of you are at different seasons in your life. Some of you are young that are getting ready to go to college or praying about your future or laying out all the plans. Some of you are in that middle stage of your life and you've got young kids and you've got plans for them and you've got, and some of you are at an older stage in life where you've been through a lot and you've done a lot and now even you're saying, what's next? And if we're not careful, no matter what stage, we can do this. And the Lord spoke to me one day and gave me a vision of Jesus doing this. Palms up. Letting go, trusting. You know, a lot of times we say, Lord, we trust you. We believe you. Lord, whatever you want, but we're still like this. Isn't it interesting that when we worship, we don't have any of you to worship like this? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we trust you. Yeah, we do. No. And it's the same way in our life, living our life. Palms up. That's what Jesus did. He emptied himself. He didn't even put his own interests first. He let go. He held his palms up. And there was a reward. But the reward wasn't just that he regained the throne of heaven. The reward is right here. We are the reward. He gave himself up for us. And I think that when we give ourselves up, there's going to be that kind of reward. People will be transformed and changed through our lives. So consider the season that you're in right now as you consider your unique kingdom contribution. While your calling may never change, it may be consistent throughout your life, how that is accomplished could change. At one point, you could be the tip of the spear, but now he calls you to take the back seat and be more of the leather wrap around the handle that you're helping others. How our calling is expressed will adjust. We can see that in Scripture. There's a lot of little snapshots in Scripture where we can see even this guy we're talking about, Paul. He was an apostle to the Gentiles, but then he became a father and not just a guide. He went to Rome. He was the man who was the foremost Pharisee at one time. God adjusted his position along the way, although his calling was consistent. We see that in the life of Peter as well, who went from being a fisherman to a fisher of men to a leader and a teacher, and then a time where Scripture says that not that he cared for others, but others cared for him, it says. Right? If we try, though, to write and live our own story, try to determine what we are called for, we will miss the most beautiful opportunities. I really believe that's true. So what are we called to do? Consider your calling without trying to direct your calling. That's trust. I'm going to close with this story. Last month, Lisa and me and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, we had planned this trip for a while, and we went to Italy. I told you I'm half Italian and half Jewish. I've been to Israel, but hadn't been to my home country of Italy. We went to Rome for 5 days and then to Sicily, which is where my heritage is from. And it was the most beautiful trip. We had such a great time seeing the sights, the incredible history in Rome, and then going into Sicily, which is like the old country. But probably the highlight of that trip for all of us, we all say the same thing, took place on one day when we took a road trip and we went up from Rome and we went to this vineyard up toward the Tuscany area, just planned a day trip up there. Went up there and saw this beautiful vineyard and did a tour through it. And toward the end of the day, we said to the tour guide, hey, where's a good place to eat? And she described the place for us. And so we put it in our GPS and started traveling. And the GPS took us one way and then another. And it was just not matching up with what she said. And we found ourselves climbing these hills and these narrow roads that only one car at a time can pass by, and through these small little gates and tunnels. And then we parked and said, we don't have any idea where we are. And we got outside, we started to walk. And then it was like, literally, like the heavens lifted. And we saw this most incredible medieval village on the hillside that we would have never found if we had did it our way. We got lost and we found ourselves in this village called Monte Pulciano that was overlooking the Tuscany region, built on this hillside. It was like one of those towns you see if you've ever been to Epcot Center in Disney World, that they design it to look like that. And I was like, but this is the real thing. And I thought, Lord, it's just like you, because if we try to direct our calling, we can miss the most beautiful things that you have for us. Imagine if each day we would truly consider our calling in these areas. Lord, thank you for what you have called me from, but Lord, what you've called me from has also shaped me and made me by your grace. But Lord, I thank you that most of all, that I'm called to be yours. I am yours, Lord, above all. And Lord, I know that today, that part of my calling is fulfilling what it means to be a blessing to others. That in each season, that afternoon, as a 10-year-old boy, when I saw my mom pulled from the water, I never would imagine that God would bring me to a place like this. It hadn't entered my mind to even be a Christian, because that wasn't on our radar. I didn't go to church, nothing like that, much less a pastor. And yet today, as I and as you, as we consider our calling, we can see that his plan for us is greater than anything we can imagine or see. Right? Doesn't he pray? He says that we should pray that prayer. Pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you would know the hope of your calling. I want to pray that for you this morning, for each one of you, where you're at personally and as a church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, first of all, for this church, the city church, Lord God, in Fairmont, West Virginia. Thank you, Lord God, for the very specific plans that you have for them. And Lord, just like us individually, this church has a past. It has a place where it's come from, a history, a heritage, even beyond them. Lord, so we acknowledge that, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we know that this church as a whole is called, most of all, to have encounters with you, because they are this is your bride. These are your children, Lord God. And then, Lord, as a church, that there is a calling to something in this season, today, looking ahead to the future. And Lord, all of that combines because every person in here is part of that. And so I lift up individuals, Lord. I lift up young people that are making plans, that are praying, that are seeking you. They have it in their mind what they'd like to do, and maybe even their gift set and what's kind of bubbling inside. But Lord, I pray that at their age that they would learn this lesson of submitting and palms up, Lord God, and trusting you, because you care for them. And Lord, for those that are in other seasons in their life, whether it's children or grandchildren or careers or coming up to retirement, Lord God, for some, that God, that we trust you, Lord God. You've been faithful all along, Jesus. You're not going to change now. But Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to continue to submit ourselves to you. Lord, this is a beautiful church. These are a beautiful people. You are an awesome God. And so I pray your blessing upon them, God. Manifold blessing. Multiple blessing upon them personally, in their families, in their places of work, in their community, that they would have influence like never before because, Lord, they continue to submit themselves to you and your calling, Lord Jesus. I pray that in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father God is calling through Pastor Peter's voice. He's reaching out. And there may be some things that, like you pointed out, that you're holding on to. And the Lord says, I want you to let go of that.
Yeah.
We're going to ask the prayer team to come up. Let's all stand together here just a minute. Would you lift your heads to the Lord? We often hear He asked us to consider quite a few things. Well, I have invited the prayer team up here because there might be, and you don't have to have a person to do this, but it just might be an altar moment where you're saying, I want to establish that I'm going to actually respond because He's calling me, because since God knows me, He's calling me to the best that could ever be for me. The best that could ever be. He gives you a power to do things you can't do in yourself. And so as we dismiss, by the way, if you've never started your life with Jesus, it's so important to say, today, I'm going to take you up, Lord Jesus, because you believe in me like nobody else does. And you've done more for me. And see, the Lord opens your eyes to see that. He causes you to see that you're more loved than you could ever imagine. That's the gold mine of Jesus. That's the gold mine. And He's got places to take you that you can't, and people to meet that sync up with the very desires of what you're made to be. I want to ask you, jettison, let go of all the plans that are not getting you where God wants you to go. Let go of that stuff. Quit trying to figure that out and say, I'm giving it over to you. And let Him begin a fresh work in your life. Let's just lift our heads for a minute. He's asked us to consider a lot of things. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on every heart that's in indecision and cause there to be, I choose you, Jesus. I choose life today. I choose to walk with you in the clarity of you who you called me to be in Christ. I want you more than life itself. Just settle that down inside. Settle that down inside. Let go of all the other stuff. It's not going to work out that way. You're old enough to know. It don't work on your terms. God's bigger. He's smarter. He's more loving. He's a better thoughtful planner than you. He knows what's next. Surrender to Him. Just say it right now. I surrender to you, Lord. I want to hear what you called me to be better than ever. I want to come into the fullness of the things that you have purposed for me. I have a sense right now, just the Lord dropped it in my spirit. Somebody, right now, when you said that in your heart, the Lord says, I'm going to break the addiction right now. You're not going to have that pulling on you because the Lord severed it right now. Right now, He severed it. He says, I'm breaking it because you said yes to me. I'm breaking what's pulling you. I'm breaking it. That's the good God that we serve. Just praise Him right now. Receive it. Receive the freedom. Receive it. So the Lord has said, you choose me, I'll get rid of what's pulling on you. I'm going to release you from captivity. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now we're going to dismiss. We got people up here that can pray. We're just going to have that spirit of contemplation before the Lord, determination to be His.
Just sense also that there's a breakthrough that's taking place in the area of shame. That some of you, like me, would be stuff you wouldn't want to tell anyone about. And yet, I sense the Lord is saying right now that He is breaking through in your life. That yes, what happened is real. Yes, what you have carried is real. And that although it's not something that you want to readily share with anyone, the Lord says, I've seen that, I know that, and I am freeing you of all shame from that, even Hallelujah. Now, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's praise Him, church. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We praise you, Lord, for what you do in the heart in a moment. You change a whole life direction in 1 second because of the goodness of who you are. Thank you, Lord.